And we truly, truly are thankful. Without you, we can do nothing. And so, God, we just give you that praise. Would you just talk to him just for about 30 seconds? Just say, Father, anoint me, anoint my ears. I don't want to skip over anything. I want to get everything that you want me to get out of this. God, I thank you. I'm not in a hurry, and I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you. It's your voice that we want to hear tonight. And it's your plan and it's your will, what we extract from where we are, God. We just thank you. I thank you for, God, those that have seen things that they didn't see before. I thank you, Father, for those that are being ignited in different areas that maybe they didn't know there was an ignition switch in that area. But I thank you that you put the fire underneath us to get us out of complacency. And Father, that you keep compelling us and drawing us to a next place in you. Father, we see that it is your absolute will that we grow and that we bear forth fruit, and then that we keep growing and we bear forth much more fruit. And Lord, in you there is no backup. There is no backward button, Father. It is forward. And so, God, I thank you that we're moving in the right direction. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. Go ahead and give him another praise just because he's worthy, and I feel him so powerful that I'm here tonight. First of all, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to each and every one of you that have been so faithful to attend on Wednesday nights and come on in the house. Now, we realize through spiritual maturity, this is what we should do, amen. We should be present and accounted for on Wednesday night. So if you're not working on a job, we do have some tonight that are working out of town on a job tonight that could not make it back for this evening, but we do expect them to get online and to get these classes and to hear the word of the Lord, what God is saying. And so I thank you for your time that you have invested, each and every one of you, to come and be in the presence of the Lord and to give me the opportunity to speak into your life. So thank you for coming. I know many of you, you work all day long, and then, you know, you may be a little tired, weary when you come into the house of the Lord. You know, I get it. Sometimes on Wednesday nights in the past when I wasn't teaching, I was so tired. I feel like I was having to, you know, put toothpicks in my eyes or what have you. But, you know, when we're faithful to God, he's faithful to let us feel glad that we came to the house of the Lord. So sometimes, yeah, go ahead and give him a praise. Because sometimes even when you don't feel like going to church, by the time it is over and you've been in his presence, you're so glad that you did do it and that you made the investment. And that is the kiss of God that kisses you back. Now, we're going to start off tonight where we left off on one of our scriptures. You can find it in your book that talks about in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This has to do with kind of our last session before I get into the new one. But they devoted themselves, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Now, the things I want you to get out of this is that in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, we are not a one-man island. We are not to ourselves. We devote ourselves. And I want you to see they devoted themselves. There was a dedication. There was a devotion to something, and that was the apostles' teaching, Apostle Paul, and those in the church that were preaching doctrine and the teaching, and they encouraged the body to fellowship one with another. You need fellowship. Don't never let the devil talk you out of fellowshipping with your brother and sister. Sometimes you need to go have coffee. Sometimes you need to, maybe you want to walk the mall together, walk a neighborhood. Maybe sometimes you need to, I don't know, have a movie night or something, a decent movie night. You understand what I'm saying? But nevertheless, there needs to be fellowship on a Sunday afternoon, talking about the goodness of God and what God is teaching and the things that are going forth. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Now, this devotion is very, very crucial because the worth of any relationship can be measured by its influence on your immediate priorities. These are not in your notes. This is the beginning of your new session. I did not give you pages for that tonight. You got to take your own notes tonight. Amen. So enjoy it. So the worth of any relationship, I can measure that worth by my influence on your immediate priorities. A husband can measure that relationship by the influence on that wife of her immediate priorities, or vice versa. The wife, if that relationship is worth a whole lot to her, she will many times change her priorities to minister to her husband. So the worth of any relationship, if a congregant in heavy need calls with an emergency, the worth of that relationship is going to have an immediate influence on my priorities if it's of great worth to me. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ. When your relationship with the Lord is highly valuable to you and it's of great worth, you are going to have immediate priorities concerning that relationship. And that's why I look in this house and I see people who are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because you value the worth of your relationship in the kingdom of God. Amen. So just always remember that. That's a wisdom nugget I wanted to pass on to you. So devotion matters. Just say that with me. Devotion matters. So I want to ask you a question. What are you devoted to? What is getting your time? What is getting your attention? Where is your devotion? When it comes to Bible reading, is there a merited worth of the relationship in His Word to have an immediate influence on your priorities? When it comes to worship, is that relationship of worship connection worthy that you make an immediate priority and you are influenced? No matter how I feel, I'm making it to the house of God tonight. Or I'm plugging into this worship. I'm not just going to be entertained because it's of high value. So we always need to know where our devotions are. Amen. So tonight we are going to also talk about the rest of the areas of spiritual maturity and maturity in all these areas. So is what you see is we have four pillars in our life. There's four areas we have to maintain, and how well you maintain them is called stewardship. Someone say stewardship. So this first pillar, I put it as a spiritual pillar, then there's emotional, sorry, I misspelled that, and then physical and financial. We have always, from the beginning of the vision of this house, talked about the four pillars: spiritual, emotional, physical, financially. Now, a lot of our teaching and measurements of maturity has been on the spiritual aspect. We've also talked about some of the emotional aspect. Two of the areas that we did not really cover is physical and financial. And so we're going to deal with those two areas tonight. So it's going to be a blessing to you. And the way we think about things is always displayed in our behavior. What you believe is what you really do. Your body is not you. That's the first thing I want us to realize tonight. My body, right here that I touch, is not me. It houses me, but it is not me. And so your skin is the house. It is the outer shell. We are responsible to keep it well enough to house our spirit. So what happens physically, if you don't maintain your physical house, then your spirit has no permission to stay there. So this is why people become diseased, or if you were to have an accident and get hit by a drunk driver and it destroy your physical body, unless God does a miracle, your spirit is going to say, hey, I can't dwell in this earth house anymore, because it's not able to keep me and contain me. So the spirit will exit, or we call that people die. Disease comes into your body, into the house. And all of a sudden, the spirit says, I don't have permission to be here anymore because something else is taking over. So I don't think many times people realize this, and we don't maintenance our body, say my body, as we should. So if you're comfortable, I want you just to do this little exercise real quick. Find someone that you already know and you're very comfortable with. Just find someone real quick. Get up from your seat. Now, if you're dating, don't do this because it could just find. If you're husbands and wives, I need you to do this. So this is what I want you to do. Now, you and David, you're engaged. You're good. You can look in. Yeah. Because what we're going to do, I want you to look into someone's eyes that you are familiar with. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to look into their eyeballs. I know, I'm kind of mixing it up. I want you to look into their eyes and see how we laugh. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Because you're not used to it, right? And why is this? Because let me tell you, when I look into your eyes, if I look past your eye, I can see your spirit. And people are not always comfortable with that. So I want you to do that to each other. I want you to look into each other's eyes. Come on, just do it. We won't take real long. You got to get eye to eye here now. Look, don't laugh. Now, I want you to look into their eyes. Because the eyes is the window. It is the window. And so is what you're doing. You're looking past their face, their house, into who they really are. You can be seated. You can be seated. I just kind of wanted you to experience that real quick. Because I wanted you to see. I wanted you to see who the person really is. Not just who you think they are. And this is why many times, you know, you're correcting a child or what have you. Look at me, right, Mama? Look at me. And when you look in their eyes, you can read a lot of things. Because what your body don't tell me, I look in your eye, I can tell, oh, you lying to me? And now you're trying to shift your eyes away from me. Your spirit's going, don't touch me. Don't look at me. Don't do that. Okay. So I just kind of wanted you to experience that, to understand that your body is not necessarily you, but you do have to steward that body. Say, I got to steward this. So the point is that spirit is energy, right? And it's very alive. Sometimes you can feel the spirit of a person through a touch, a hug, through holding their hand. If I pass by Corey, I can feel him and he can feel me. He didn't feel my flesh just walk by, but he could feel me. Okay, and so your spirit inside your tent has massive energy. Whew, it does. So the point is, in the physical realm, we need to take care of our bodies, our temple, and be a good steward so that you, your spirit, has a right to stay and live in this realm. That's up to us. And many times, yes, the Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die. So people, yes, can live healthy, take good care of themselves. And, you know, still they may die in their sleep, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, you know, things happen. Disease comes, you know, that probably shouldn't have came. But I want you to pay very close attention to when God is speaking to you about your body. Now, a spiritual maturity, you will take on listening to what the Spirit is saying to your spirit about your temple. Immaturity don't want to listen. I do what I want to whenever I want to. If I want that pizza, give me the second piece of pizza. That's okay. The other night, I was a bad girl. I got to tell on myself, and I got to spank myself just a little bit. I was craving a brownie Oreo. It's called Cupalicious at Dairy Queen with hot fudge running down all over it. I bought one and I said, oh man, I'm craving fudge. I haven't had fudge in such a long time. Surely I'll be okay. And I thought, I talked myself into it, Lolita, by saying, well, I'll only take like 3 bites. I didn't say 1 because I knew I'd be lying to myself. I'll take 3 bites and then I'm gonna pass it to Crystal and I'm just gonna walk away. Well, I get home and I'm sitting on the couch, and lo and behold, what did I do? I ate the whole thing. Oh, no. I was so upset with myself, and my body told me about it, and it was like I was getting nauseated inside. I was like, oh, my God, I'm having sugar overload, and it was just terrible. But I said all that to say this, we have to pay attention. Now, the Lord didn't tell me I couldn't have it, and he didn't tell me I could have it. But see, he already told me before, leave the sugar alone. So he didn't have to tell me this time, okay? So sometimes, what am I saying? God is dealing with you about you. He wants your house to be healthy, strong, powerful, so you can live out the things in the world. But if you don't partner with him, then it's not his fault. Whew, that's good. That's good. Okay, so sometimes, you know, God doesn't do a miracle. Like I said, your spirit will exit. We see that in a casket. The real person's no longer there, and the shell of them is left behind. And I think most of us have been to funerals before. We've seen that. The Bible tells us this. Remember that bodily exercise, it does profit a little. So be good to yourself. If you know what is causing damage to your body, stop doing it. What you value, you will protect. Oh, that's good. What I value, I will protect. If little value is assigned, then we don't have a passion in that area. So when people say, well, I need to lose weight, I need to do this, I need to do that. But if your passion is very, very small, it will not be worthy of capturing your attention long enough for you to be disciplined long enough to do something about it, right? How many's been there? I've been there. Amen. I know I'm talking right. And so what does the scripture say? It says, but refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. So what am I proving here? He does say bodily exercise profiteth a little. It does profit a little. But what is more important is godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So he's saying, go ahead and exercise, but that's profiting you very little compared to, I need you to exercise your spirit. And I need you to grow spiritually. I need you to nourish that. I need you to feed your spirit continually. It's like all these, they'll go out and work at the gym every day, once a week, twice a week. I want to know, okay, how are we working out with this right here? Are we just as devoted to the spiritual things of working out as we are in the flesh realm? I will go a little step further here. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, this guy looks pretty good. It looks like it's profiting pretty good. Yeah. But it says godliness is profitable unto all things. So the focus here is number one. Up here at the top, the focus is what? The present moment. Number two, health. I need to look good, feel good. There's nothing wrong with that. Number three, there's focus here, strength. It's the stewardship of his flesh. But the bottom picture, the focus here, is the present moment and the growing you and the after earth life. And number two, the focus here is spiritual nutrition, your witness ability, knowledge, wisdom, developing the gifts of the Spirit. So if we're going to take care of our body, which we should, we should also keep taking care of our spirit. Please, my friend, don't get lazy concerning the spiritual things of your life, but also don't be lazy about your flesh either, because we want you to stay here long enough to influence and impact other people. I love this. Don't you like this? It would be a shame to work so hard to become fit for the world, but you're still unfit for a king. Powerful, powerful. I love that. Now, we'll get to that in just a minute. So we're in training here on the earth for reigning. We're in schooling for ruling, and that's why we have to keep growing. We have to keep producing and flourishing in the kingdom of God. You must nourish and feed what it is that you want to grow. I have to water my plants, or they are going to wither and die. You have to have the same watering of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit partners with you as an assistant. He will instruct. He will coach you. He will warn you. He will inspire you. He will ignite things in every area of your life. His voice is not just for when you come to church. How many know His voice should be speaking to you on Monday, Tuesday? He's speaking to you right now, and this makes it real simple for you. All you got to do is listen. He should speak to you tomorrow. He should speak to you on Friday. Guys, you're out mowing the lawn. You're doing the hedges. You're at work. You're doing stuff. You're taking the lunch break. Man, take that time. Woo, shift that focus and think about your God. Say, Father, I don't want to leave you out of my day today. So sometimes I just say, I'm really, really busy, you know. But I'll say, God, I want you to know that I'm available, and I'm taking a break here. I'm going to go out on the deck. God, if you just want to say something to me, just say, lead me. And then I wait on the Lord, and then I get back to my schedule, and I go back to work. How many know we can all do that somewhere in our day? Because the value, the worth of any relationship will affect your immediate priorities, and it will be in the forefront of your mind. His voice is for every day. His voice is for every moment. I want you to know that. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, and financially. So we are going to talk on the other subject of money tonight, which is very important. And I want to say this about finances. The Bible clearly tells us not to be a squanderer or a waster of money. And I also put here, control the money. Money should not control you. And if you control your money, money won't control you. But many times, many in the body of Christ, they are controlled by money. They're offended by money. They get upset when it comes to offering time. Now all of a sudden they ain't no anointing. And they can't worship. Why? They're controlled by money. Well, why are we taking another offering? They're controlled by money in their attitude. You understand what I'm saying? But when you control your money, it has no power over you. And it's very important for us to understand this. When you were young, you bought candy bars, all kinds of stuff that had no real lasting value. And it was a momentary fulfillment. That's the child nature. Okay? Some wasted money on frivolous things, but there comes a time when we have to mature and be able to tell ourselves no. That's right, Crystal. That's a perfect time to say no. Just like me. I should have been more physically mature, which I was not. If I would have been physically and more a little more emotionally mature, I would have been able to tell myself last night, going by Dairy Queen with a massive craving, no. But I didn't. Can I just be real? I didn't. Okay. So then now I'm going to have to make up the difference. And then I go to the dentist today. And lo and behold, fresh peanut butter cookies. And Innovative Dental has my favorite peanut butter cookies. They're this thick. And they're not sugar-free. And yes, I went and took a bag. And at first I sat there in the waiting area. And I told myself, no. I was a good girl, and I didn't do it. But by the time I left, I walked right over there, and I went and got that little brown paper bag, and I took my cookie. I said, well, I need one for Crystal, too. And then I stood there. I looked around, and I thought, well, I think I want two. So I got another one. And then I thought, well, I know my husband, he may cheat and eat one. So I got four peanut butter cookies today. So you see, I'm telling you, the battle's real, okay? And so I'm exposing my sin and my failure up front because it had been like, oh, I don't know how many years since I had a peanut butter cookie. But somehow I've got to find my way, Corey, and I've got to put myself back in check. And so right now I'm evaluating myself, and I'm like, Brenda McClintock, why do you keep stumbling here? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to you? Is it a reward because I lost weight again? Probably. But then that is a way to gain it all back. And so it's an endless cycle and an endless loop. So maturity will do what? It will bring a constancy or a consistency. So see, I'm just letting you know, I'm still working on me for him to make me what I ought to be. It took him only a week to make the moon, sun, and stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. I love how patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Amen. And that was good for your family entertainment tonight. Amen. And so we have to be mature and be able to tell ourselves no. It is the same financially. You have to be able to tell yourself no. Now that one I have a really good grasp on. So I can pet myself on that one. But it's very, very important that we get a hold of this so that it doesn't control us, okay? And so people that is like, gimme, 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 or I'll do what I want to when I want to, these are all signs of immaturity. It's a sign of a child at the store, at Walmart, they're in line, they want this, they want that. And because you don't want them to throw a fit, you go ahead and give in and give them what they want. That's the child nature. But we shouldn't have that nature anymore. Amen. The mature, they have learned what it takes to be productive. They know how to handle their money and not be a squanderer. Being financially fit is when, again, you control your money. The money don't control you. I'm happy when I have it. Someone say amen. But then I'm extremely sad when I don't. Now, that's an immature place financially. Or I'm happy if I have it, and I always have it. Maturity. I hope this don't step on your toes too hard. Do you see the difference? I'm happy if I have it, and I'm sad if I don't. Where did it go? Why do you not have it? What decisions are you making that is bringing sadness to you? When a mature person, I am happy when I've got money, but you know what? I always have money. There's always something planned, arranged, put aside, so there's something there. Emergencies come up? Yes. I'm not talking about situations, but I'm talking about emergencies. See, this is in the immature people with their money. Everything's an emergency. Well, this come up, that come up, that come up, that come up. Well, you know what? And the devil looks at you and says, guess what? Something's always going to come up. You're going to need a new refrigerator, a new tire. Now I'm going to do this. I'm going to throw this monkey wrench in. I'm going to throw this in. Because you use the excuse, I'll always pull from any excess I have because something's always happening and you're never getting ahead. We need to defeat the devil and learn how to get ahead of his plan. For when something does come up, because I told myself no before, well, we just need to go out and eat. No, we don't. There's sandwich meat in the refrigerator and you want to go to Subway? No. Ooh, see, we don't like to hear that, right? Ooh, don't tell myself that. Well, you just took that money you could have been saving, and you already spent it on what you didn't need. It wasn't an emergency. You didn't even need to do that. Get in the refrigerator, get your cold cuts and your little slice of bread, make your own little sub sandwich. Are you hearing me? Now, mama's coming out here because I know how to make money work. And I'm glad about it. I had some good teachers, and I have a financial professional standing right in front of me who makes sure money does what it's supposed to do. You got to make your money obey you. And those with money in here and that is prospering, you know that. And you're like, woo, yes. Amen. And those that may be having trouble, you're like, ouch. That kind of ouches. Unless it's an unforeseen disease, tragic accident, a home fire. Those are different things that occur that God helps us to get through, right? But never at a next level financially because you have pockets with holes in it. So many times people are not getting to the next level because the Bible does say, and I didn't have time to pull out all the scriptures. I'm sorry. I'm got a really heavy platter right now. That he says it's like giving you stuff, but it's a bag with holes. And so you don't contain it. And so that brought me to this. God gave me. What you cannot contain, you cannot multiply. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, and financially. What you cannot contain, you have no ability to multiply. If you can't contain an anointing and walk in that anointing, you're not going to multiply that anointing. Period. If you only visit a gift every now and then, you're not containing it. Containing, it's still there. No matter where I'm placed, I got it. I hope this is not too hard for y'all. I'm going to go there. But if you can contain it, you can multiply it. If I can contain my money and I can hold it, someone can give me a $100 bill tonight, I'll still have it 6 months from now if I choose to. I have the ability to. It doesn't burn a hole in my purse or my three wallets. And I'm not bragging. That's truth. You can pull them out right now and count them. But I'm just saying it don't burn a hole. I don't have to go shopping. I don't, ooh, what can I spend this money on? No. What can I not spend it on? Are you following me, anybody? What you cannot contain, you cannot multiply. So financially, if you want to multiply your success life monetarily, you have to have the ability to say no to everything else and contain. Contain. Then we go on next. Many times it is not the content that is being poured out. It is the container it's poured into. Go ahead, Jason. Oh, is that where it is? Read it to us real quick. Absolutely, absolutely. And therefore, that is the squanderer mentality. God won't trust people like that. He won't trust wasters. He won't trust people that can't hold anything. So many times, it's not the content that's being poured out. It is the container that the content is being poured into. This is why many people can get blessed financially. It was extremely temporary. They have nothing to show for it. And they're an empty container again. And they're going through the same cycle over and over and over and can't pay the bills again. And they're fretting and biting their nails off over and over. It's not the content. The content is not the problem. Well, if I just had more money, I'm going to tell you right now. No, the principles are wrong. The mentality is wrong. Because I can give Gigi $20. And I say, Gigi, I'm going to give you $20. Thank you for what, blah, blah. Now, in 6 months, make sure that $20 is still there. Or I want you to put that $20 somewhere, and I want you to make more money out of it. Now I'm teaching good. Not, here you go, go spend it. No. How can I will control this money, and it will work for me. I'll find a way for it to make money for me when I'm sleeping. I'll make a way to make that CD work for me when I ain't even present to sing. I didn't have to travel. I didn't have to get in my car. I didn't have to spend not one penny to sing at someone's church or someone's funeral or someone's worship thing. They bought it. It made money for me while I did nothing. So no pockets with holes, have a plan. That's how you seal up the holes. You have to have a plan. Say, I have to have a plan. I have to have a plan. And then a plan is not just good enough. this teaching's not just good enough. I got to do something about it. I got to enact the plan every single day. If I want to keep this weight off, it's the same principle. The principles are all the same. I have to enact the plan and keep doing the plan over and over and over again. Self-discipline. Tell yourself no. Obey yourself. Isn't it funny? We want our kids to obey us. We want, you know, our employees to obey us and do what we say. Yet when we tell ourselves something, we don't always obey ourselves, right? Amen. So when you're a child, someone else disciplines you, right? When you're a teenager, someone else disciplines you, or they should have. But when you become a young man, young woman, no one else is disciplining you. It's you and God. And if you've not mastered the skill of right and wrong, self-discipline characteristics, you will be sloppy. You don't clean house, not self-motivated. Therefore, you are not a self-leader. God wants to raise you up to self-lead yourself. David and Megan are getting ready to get married. He's getting ready to exit my home. So I can't say, son, take your laundry to your room. Son, could we get the lawn mowed? Guess what? He's going to his own house, and I'm going to sneak over there. Because I know the code. The rest, they change it on me. I'm going to sneak over about 5 months into them being married. Both of them are gone at work. Just watch me. Just watch me. I'm going to sneak into there. I'm going to punch that garage code, and I'm going to walk through that house. And let's just see how mature they are. Am I scaring you? Hopefully not. No, and I believe they're going to take really good care of their stuff. Why do I say that? Because if you see how they take care of stuff now, he may still have laundry sitting in the laundry room unless Megan removes it for him. Because what? He didn't perfect the discipline to keep taking it downstairs. Am I right, son? So he's like, don't pick on me. Don't pick on me. Yeah. Right, a lot of stairs, I agree. But and maybe Megan will help him be disciplined in that area. But you know, what you're practicing right now is what you take with you. It's the same thing in your money. Right now, today, the money you spend, I'm not saying we shouldn't spend money. We all got money we need to spend. But I'm saying what you're practicing right now, you are also carrying in your tomorrow. Look what I did. Ice cream should have been enough for 3 months. But it wasn't. And I carried over into today. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to carry that over, follow me, into tomorrow. And what am I going to say tomorrow, Brenda? I'm going to say, well, I'll cut the sweets on Monday. Uh-huh. Right, because this is Wednesday. Uh-huh. So, and see, we give ourselves a way out, don't we? We create a way out. Yeah, go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Just for a quick fact is that if you work over your lifetime 40 years.
Yes.
All right. And so that would be if you started working at 18 and you worked till 58. So that's not even retirement. If you worked 40 years and you averaged $25,000 a year, you stewarded $1 million.
Well,
it just happened in increments over time.
Yes, that is very good. So we have to learn to be a self-leader, everybody. And so you don't have to always have someone else to come along and show you again. If you're still undisciplined, that's an area of immaturity. You tell yourself no again, obey yourself. You have to be able to say, I need to go to bed and then go to bed, right? Now your kids, because they are immature, don't you have to tell them, hey, kids, time for bed, right? But when they become more mature, let's say, do you tell Gigi to, time to go to bed? Okay, so you still tell David he needs to go to bed. But what happens when David grows up? Let's say he gets, so what makes you go to bed? Oh, you're tired. But you have to get up pretty early, right? So does David get up early too? Oh, so immaturity. when David has to do the same thing that Gigi's now doing, hopefully that maturity, him growing up, you won't have to discipline him and tell him it's time to go to bed, right? So how many sees that's where growth happens? You don't need somebody else to discipline you when you come into an area of maturity. Amen. So you don't need a banker to say you have withdrawn a check. Ouch. Okay. Also, it's the same thing when you say, I'm not going to be a part of that drama. And then you're just not a part of the drama, right? You discipline yourself. You remove yourself, and you're done with it. So many times, materially, financially, we have to tell ourselves, I cannot keep acting like this and have a retirement account when I get older. Or I'm not ever going to be able to buy a house, pay it off, if I keep living like I'm living here. If we keep eating out every day, every week, because we're too busy. And yes, this is the deal. Everyone has a reason to do what they do. But it doesn't mean the reason is right. Even though every man's way is right in their own eyes. Isn't there another way that we can find where we can put this money behind? We can start working on an emergency fund. We can start working on this, a college thing for our kids. Whatever your goals are, there's no reason why you cannot meet those goals. Hallelujah. And so when it comes to spending, right here, you must gain control over your money, or the lack of it will forever control you. That's a good quote. And I've got some quotes to share with you tonight because I want you to write these down. So get control of it. This is part of your growing up maturity. This is also part of the Holy Spirit being able to speak to you at any moment and say, I want you to give $1,000. You know what blessings are locked up in a $1,000 gift? But if you don't discipline your money, he probably don't ever speak to you to give like that. But if you would, oh my goodness, it's a whole different monetary and blessing level. So also he has to be able to speak to us in the control issue of only wanting to keep it. So sometimes God challenges me and I have to let it go. And he has to be my Lord and I have to obey what the Holy Spirit says. Next, don't tell me where your priorities are. Show me where you spend your money and I will tell you what they are. Oh, I love Jesus so much. Oh, okay. Well, if you're spending your money in your kingdom, in the kingdom of God, I mean, and if you're giving in the kingdom, yeah, I can tell that that is a priority. Oh, I want to see the building, the brand new building, go up for Eagle Heights. And I talk all this and, it's such a burden in my heart. Really? Show me where you spend your money, and I'll tell you what your real priorities are. Oh, well, I'm gonna go spend $100,000 for this new car. It's showing me where your priorities are, right? And if you need a house, et cetera, et cetera. So how many know these principles are really, really simple? It's like I heard a person say before, show me your checkbook ledger. That's, you know, back in the day when checkbooks, everyone wrote a check. No one writes a check anymore but me. You know, and they would always say, the preachers would say, show me your checkbook ledger, and I will show you where your love is. Whether your cable bill is higher than your tithes. Come on. If we were to just start comparing all of the expenditures that many times people don't even need to spend anyway, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with luxuries. Luxuries are great, guys. They're wonderful. I love the ability to go out. If I want to go to Dillard's tomorrow and if I want to spend $500 tomorrow, I'll do it. And I can do it. And I'm not bragging. That is a fact, Jack. And I can do it. But let me tell you this. From the age of 13 years old all the way up until after my babies were raised, I was not able to do that. I had the ability to tell myself no. I looked at every clearance rack, and a $50 dress, I would try to find it for 12 bucks. You see what I'm saying? And so all this time has gone by, the ability to say no. I don't have to say no now. And I want all of y'all to be able to do that too. I don't have to say no. And I don't have to say no. If God says give $1,000 right now, I'll say hallelujah. Let's do this. Come on. That should have made someone happy. Oh, no. If you can't manage $1,000, you cannot manage $10,000. You don't suddenly learn how to handle money by gathering more of it. This is why a lot of lottery winners, they lose every bit of it. They have no common sense when it comes to finances. They have no maturity when it comes to finances. Financial literacy is not a side effect of wealth. Wealth is a side effect of financial literacy. This is so valuable and highly important. I'm going to say that again because we're going to all get on the same page. Financial wisdom and understanding is not a side effect of being wealthy. No, my friend, that has nothing to do with it. Wealth is the benefit. It is the result. Wealth is the fruit. Wealth is the manifestation of financial wisdom and knowledge. And if you will apply it, I'm telling you, God will take you to the next level. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Here it is. And you could write some of these things down because you're going to want to remember them. You are the root of your financial success. You are. Or the failure. If you work on the root, the fruit will take care of itself. So who's the root of success or failure? Can we all say that together? Who is the root of success or failure? There we go. And so if we work on the roots in our life that is growing this tree, the fruits are going to take care of themselves. It is your sacrifice is going to pay off in the long run. It don't feel like it's paying off right now, but it will pay off in the long run. Next, building wealth is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Discipline is the key ingredient. Someone say discipline. Discipline is what? A key that unlocks the door. You can't say, well, we're just not going to go out to eat for a month. No, see, that's like a diet. No, discipline. Every day, what is the change I'm going to make so that I have the ability to extract and make this money work for me? I hope I put a fire under everyone in this room tonight. Next, money does not change you. Nope. It magnifies who you already are. Money does not change you. These people, if I had $100,000, I would be so happy and all the stress would be gone. Okay, hold up. No. The stress would be gone for a moment until you write the $100,000 check to help pay off your home. But then this same stewardship or this same cycle is going to come right back up into your path in another area because it is not the money that is the problem. It's our mentality and it is our stewardship. So money doesn't change you. It is not going to make, it may make you more happy for a moment, but it will not make you more happy for a lifetime. It magnifies whatever you already are. So this is the deal. If someone is already a giver making $200 a week and they're giving $50 of that every week into the church, God can bless them and they can make $500 a week and then $1,000 a week and they're given $100 and then given $150. That money didn't change the person. They're using the same principles. It's just at a greater level. How many could see that? But you know what? If you make, let's say you bring in $800 a week, Yet God speaks to you to give 25 or 100. No one should have a problem with 25. But let's say 100. Or God tells you to give 500 out of the 800. Are you going to have a problem with that? You will if you had a problem making $100 and not able to give. You'll still have the same problem. Because people say, well, you know, if I made $10,000 a week, I would give at least, you know, $3,000 to the church. And I laugh hilariously. I'm like, no, you wouldn't. You would squander every bit of the $10,000. You go buy the new car, the machete, the whatever. Machete. You know, you'd be slicing, dicing. You'd be eating out. You'd be doing all this stuff. You'd be spending way above your head and then getting more in debt. And then you're not able to keep up with that. Then you're in a bigger trap than you ever had before because you did make more money. You didn't count on paying the taxes. You didn't count on stewardship. And then now you're really going to be in trouble. When they thought more money would settle it all. No, where you are is where you are. Work with where you are. And God can help you work it. Amen. I hope you believe that in your spirit tonight. So money doesn't change you. It magnifies who you already are. Next, what you do daily. This is not on your screen. So what you do daily determines what you become permanently. It's what I do daily, every single day, that determines what I become permanently. If I'm selfish every day, then I become selfish more and more. If I'm a giver, and I give every day, and I look for ways to do that, I become more of a giver. What you practice every day, let me ask you, this week, if we look at Monday, Tuesday, we're only in Wednesday. So let's just look at the last 2 days. What are you practicing on Monday, Tuesday? Sleeping in, not sleeping in, watching too much television, praying, not praying. What you are doing every day is determining your tomorrow. And so if you want to change what tomorrow looks like, then you got to change your today. You can't keep saying, well, next Monday, well, next month, I'm going to. Procrastination never got anybody anywhere. Amen. Successful men do daily what unsuccessful men do occasionally. So this is where we got to get this occasionally. Well, I'll be disciplined in my finance and I'll start a savings account and it's, you know, I did 3 months and then I don't know, that happened. No, you're only doing occasionally. You did the right thing, but successful men do it constantly where you only did it occasionally. Is this helping anybody? And so this is why you lost momentum. But successful people don't lose momentum. They keep it moving constantly. They're moving the wheel all the time. If you're going to take out, you know, $25 out of each check. You know, Gigi, I hope you know how to save your money. I taught my kids to save money when they were, do you have a job? You don't have a job yet. Okay. Well, when you have a job, you need to make sure that you take a certain amount of money, whatever that is, that's in your spirit, and you sock that stuff away. You leave it alone. You don't touch it. You don't need a new purse, new shoes. You know what I'm saying? And you put it away, and you save it because you need a hope chest. You need to prepare to get married. So you don't have an emergency right now. You understand me? Okay. I just want to make it clear. We got to help the next generation. We got to help the next generation. Get there. Get there. And praise the Lord, the blessed people said, amen. Let's see what else is up here. It's not how much money you make. Here it is. But how much money you keep. You see that, Gigi? You understand me? You need to be a blessed woman of God. It's not how much you make. How much money can you keep? How hard it works for you. And how many generations you can keep it for. I remember the hardness. I remember the sweat and labor doing Max Snacks vending every single week. How many times a week did we do that, baby? Was that twice a week? You're not listening to me. Hey, listen to the teacher. Vending, we did that twice a week? Was that twice a week, once a week? And we did that, and we pushed that in our schedule. I didn't like it. I couldn't stand it. It got on my nerves. And sometimes as a wife, I would vent about it. Oh, my God, this venting. If we didn't have to do this, I need to be before the Lord. I need to blah, blah. I need to.
That's why I did it sometimes by myself.
And that's why you did it sometimes by yourself, because I said, you just go do it. I'm not, you know. Yeah, but because of that consistency, my daughter was able to go to Missouri State University debt-free. No student debt. But you see, you have to have wisdom has to come into play. If I want better for my kids, I have to do what it takes to get it for my kids. My husband had to do what it took to build that. And so we built a little nest egg for David and for Brittany. And it was a quarter at a time, 50 cents at a time. How much was our canned soda?
Yeah, 50 cents.
50 cents. 50 cent soda. You know how many sodas we had to sell and load into a machine and go buy at the stock at Food for Less and Coca-Cola Company and hurt our backs and lift up sodas and crates and things and go by to Sam's Club and load in stacks and stacks till our van was so full it was dragging on the bottom as we were leaving and then have to unload all that, put it in all the vending machines all over town. Okay, see, some people look at people and they think, oh, well, lucky them. No. No. We worked. We worked hard. Work hard for the money. We worked hard for the money. Sweating. And sometimes, yes, crying. But it was worth it. Amen. And how many generations that you keep it for? That is very important. I love this. And I believe it is in, John 6 and 12? Let me find it real quick here. I want to share this scripture with you. This is New Testament, and I love it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Yes, baby, I understand. You're going to be blessed too. Amen. John 6 here and 12. Where are you at? Come here. Yes, if you have a John 6, 12. Right, right, right. And so that's actually talking about frugality there. Meaning Jesus was even saying, hey, don't let there be waste. Gather up the fragments. How many times have you seen people just throw stuff away? I've seen people just throw it away. Like, so if they have a dinner, and okay, some of you may not agree with me. That's okay. That's all right, because I've saved a lot of money. But, you know, some people that have leftovers or pizza, and they'll take half the pizza and throw it in the trash can. Ooh, I rise up with a fire in my blood. What in the world are you doing? Or go to a restaurant, buy a steak, potatoes, salad, broccoli. They only ate like four pieces of it. And then what, you not taking home a to-go plate? What? Wow. Have a dinner, fried chicken's left over. Some people don't like leftover fried chicken. But I just learned, Jesus said, bring up the leftovers. He said, don't let there be no waste. He's gather it. Gather it because you can use it on another day. And if I can use it on another day, why would I throw it in the trash can and waste it? Okay, I'll get off of that. Anything inspected improves. Anything ignored deteriorates. You've heard that before. Anything inspected improves. Please inspect your money. And please do it now. Let's not go into Thanksgiving and Christmas and you don't know what in the world your money's doing. You don't know where it's at. You don't know if you have enough to make ends meet. You don't even have a Christmas budget yet. You should have. You should know. This is how much I'm going to have, and if I do this, I'm going to overspend. If I get gifts for his family and her family, then that's going to put me in trouble here. That's going to rob from vacation in June of next year. You should know things like this. But see, people don't plan. And because they don't plan, they end up failing somewhere along the way. So I'm just saying, look at your money, know what your money is doing. Inspect your money. Because what you inspect improves. When you expect, right here, this is what we've been doing. Megan, we've been inspecting. Where am I at, spiritual sons and daughters? Where am I? A tender? Let me see. Do I have this attitude right here? Oh, my God. I circled that one, didn't I? I don't see no circles. Did you circle your circles in here? Oh, you put stars. She did stars. Okay. So it's what I'm saying. We have inspected some spiritual things, some mental attitudes. Because when you inspect yourself financially, inspect yourself physically. Because I didn't inspect myself physically, I had gained so much weight, I didn't even know I gained. But when I got on the scale, inspection time. Oh, I hate that. I hate the stupid scale. I'm not getting on there. Stupid idiot thing. You don't even read right anyway. Come on. I'm on you. I'm in your house. Get on the scale. See what it says. It is a truth. Anything inspected improves. Anything ignored deteriorates. And that's up to you. Proverbs 6. See, 6 through 8. What does it say? Proverbs 6. 6 through 8. We're going to talk about frugality is the seed for instant increase. Someone say being frugal. Frugal. I love being frugal. Frugal means that you don't just squander money away, but you spend it on the things that are most necessary. It really means you get the most bang for your buck. There you go. So I'm not going to spend $1,000 on a refrigerator that I can get the same quality of refrigerator for $649 if I wait till Labor Day. Why? Because I need it now. Why would I do that? I can save $400-something, get a cooler. See, people ain't willing to do that. Go to a friend's house. Put your groceries in the refrigerator till you can be frugal. Make money stretch as far as money will stretch. I've always been told, prophetess, you can make a penny scream. Yeah, probably. But because I learned to do that, I don't have to do it anymore. Not like that. When times require me to do it, I can still step right into that. I don't have to have a Cadillac. I wouldn't get rid of it tomorrow. I might cry. No, I wouldn't, because it doesn't control me like that. It does help that you bought it for me. Amen. But you know what I'm saying? Because I was able to squeeze a penny, I remember the times my 300 was paid all off, and people would say, more than one person, more than two, three, four, five people, prophetess, when are you going to get a new car? When are you going to get a new car? Because they could feel, you know, it was time. And it was time. But frugality and patience will wait. And I would drive up into car lots, and I'd look at Cadillacs. They had nice Cadillacs, sporty Cadillacs, $100,000 Cadillacs. They had this kind of Cadillac. And I thought, nothing hit my spirit. And another year goes by. You're going to get a new car? Nah. Why? Mine's fine. It's paid for. My 300 runs perfect. It's a Hemi. It gets me anywhere I want to go. But then one day, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, pull in. I told my husband, I said, we're pulling in. I drove up there to the very front, and there it is, sitting right there in front of the bay doors. Only one there. And it's hot red. And I said, ooh. He knew he was in trouble when I went, ooh. I got out of the car. Salesman met us. I said, yes, I want to drive it. I want to take it for a test drive. We're just looking. Not really going to buy it today. Test drove. He got in the car next to me. I told him, I said, hold on. I said, I know what I'm doing. But if this is a six cylinder, I need to make sure it knows how to run. You got me? He was pretty scared. We went out on the highway, and yes, I floored that sucker. I said, and we were done. I was like, okay, I can see a six cylinder got some pretty good pickup. I had to compare it to my Hemi, you know. And he didn't know what to do with me. But all in all, you know what happened? And it's just, I knew that was my car. But you have to many times have the ability to wait for the thing, not just settle for something, right? That, and that's just my testimony. I hope it's a blessing to you because God can do it for you too. And so frugality, did we read that? Proverbs 6, 6 through 8? Oh, take a lesson from the ants. You lazy bones, it says. Learn from their ways and become wise. Have you guys ever seen ants? What are they always doing? And they're working. What are they doing? Storing. There it is. There it is. They are working and storing, not spending. Learn from their ways and become wise. Here it is in your Bible. Look at verse 7. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty is going to pounce on you like a bandit. That's what my Bible said. Isn't that good? So we work, and we consistently work. And when the times are good, make it real good. When the investment time is real good, keep them investments in the investment. Make that money, make money. Let it bring it on in. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, and I hope you're able to learn to invest. If not, talk to a financial professional and put some money aside and invest. It shouldn't just be in a savings account. Jeff, you should have a Corvette. But you're going to have to invest some of that good money you'd be making. You're going to have to put it aside. You're going to have to make that money work for you. Make that money talk, interest. Bring it back to you and then reinvest that and make it making and reinvest that. Come on, let it build, right? Am I saying it right? And you can go get that Corvette and it's not going to be a hardship on you. Okay, well, so where do we want to go here? I read that, didn't I? Yes, I did. Okay. So I believe I covered what I needed to cover. There it went. Did I go through my things? Oh, here it is. 8 signs you're good with money. There it is. Look at that. You have a steady flow of income. How many have a steady flow of income? I hope so. You know how much you spend. Do you know how much you spend? Raise your hand or not raise your hand. This is signs that you're good. If you are not measuring up to these signs right here, there's an area we need to take care of. Next, you can pay your bills every month. How many can pay your bills every month? I hope so. You can buy things you want. You have an emergency fund. All right? You're planning for a major purchase. Oh, are you? Pastor, you're gonna get it, ain't you? Yeah. I'm excited about that. You are saving money. We have some people saving money. Okay, you better be saving money. God blesses you with double. God raises your tips. Come on, what are you doing? Now is your time. Man, don't miss the heat wave. Don't miss the double. What are we doing? Making more money than we've ever made before. What are you doing? You don't have a savings account? Come on here. Save the money. Next, you invest to make more money. How many investors we have? You don't have to raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. So Apostle Don McClintock is a financial professional. How many years did you do that? Over 25 years? 25 years investing money. And for those of you that don't know, and I'm not bragging, it is a fact, he still does have $1 million client he invests money for. and that person continues to make great money. And he just oversees it, oversees the funds, and it operates, and it's great. So the man knows what he's doing. I'm just telling you, as his wife of 30-something years, he knows what he's doing. And if you haven't tapped into that and you haven't taken advantage of it, okay, I'm backing up. Next one. Is that it? Oh, here it is. The 7-day rule. You might want to write this down, ladies. Sometimes you men just go in and get it. Anyway, whenever you want to buy something, wait. That's the rule number one. Oh, I just want it. I'm just going to go get it. Okay. You could have saved more money and been further along ahead in the program. Okay. Number two, give yourself 7 days to decide on it before you purchase it. I gave myself over a year before I decided to purchase a Cadillac. Ladies, you go out and you see a new dress. I've done this many times. Dillard's is my place. I'll go in there. I can spend money. But if I ever leave and walk out the door and don't get it, if I give myself 7 days, I used to do this all the time. This was a principle I always did. Many times I would realize by the time I got home, I would say this, I'm gonna go back on Friday. I'm going to go back on Friday. I know I'll have some more money, so I don't have to put it on the credit card, and I'll have a little bit more cash by then. I'll go back Friday, and I'll go get it. Guess what? Friday came, and what happened? Well, what happened? I changed my mind, and I thought, you know what? I was at home, and I thought, I'm not going to go back. I really don't need that dress. I really don't need those boots. I really don't need those shoes. I used to do that all the time, and I'm just telling you it works. If you can ever give yourself 7 days to decide before you purchase it, the dress, the car, the mower, next, most often, you won't feel like you need it anymore. That's it. You won't feel like you need it anymore. Man, sometimes we can just go to the store or in the Starbucks line, leave. And then you'll decide. Jeff's like, oh, no. You know, but sometimes, okay, Dunkin' Donuts, let's just come right over here. Sometimes just turn around and wait an hour and say, do I still want it? Sometimes you might, and you might go back and go get it, but other times you're like, I didn't need that. So I want you to think of the times that you may have done that and thought, I really didn't need that. So if I were to give into it, what would it have been? It would have been unnecessary spending, right? So I'm not saying it's always applicable. I'm not trying to be a hard nose, but I am saying that I do want you to be blessed. Amen. And we have to, we can't multiply what we can't keep. Okay, guys? So you have to be able to contain some stuff. And you have to be able to keep it, to multiply it. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Don't spend unless you have to spend. The number one thing you should be thinking of right now is where to invest your money. How do you keep your money? Now, if you're stepping out brand new and you've been keeping money and you're getting ready to move, like, you know, my son and Megan, they're moving. They're starting a new life. They've got to buy appliances. They've got to do a number of these things. But if my son walked into the store and just said, oh, well, there's a refrigerator, and oh, that looks good, and okay, and he didn't shop around first, how many know he could make a very unwise choice? So we don't want to be doing that, because again, money doesn't change you. It's just going to magnify what you already are. So let's stand to our feet. I hope you guys have enjoyed this, and I hope I gave you something to think about tonight, physically and financially. And please don't let this run in one ear and out the other ear. I really want you to think about this tonight. If you don't have a budget, would you please get a budget for your spending, what your utilities are, what your cell phones are. You know, do you need to take a plan down? Does your bill keep going up? How many know, like your cable bill, it'll start out good and they'll slowly work it up, 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 up. And if you don't catch them, all of a sudden you're paying way over an amount of cable because you just wasn't watching. It's like the church trash bill here. What happens? We start at $39, then it's at $40, then it's at $49, then it's at $52, then it's $54. What happens? I have to get on the phone and say, listen, this bill keeps going up. You say it's the gas cost to come get our trash. We need to work on this or I'm finding a different company. And what happens? I take that bill back down all the way to $39.99. And what happens? I make the penny scream. So frugality is what? Make your money do what you say. You want a new truck? Great. Figure out how to get it. Make your money work for you. You want a new house? Wonderful. Figure out how to make it happen. Where's the money come from? Where is it going? Let's know this information so that we're not caught in a trap. And Apostle, if you could come, I want you to pray with us. And if there's any final words that you want to say, guys, please, would you please, please go over your workbooks and go back through those again. If you are a protege of Mentorship Institute, I actually want you to start bringing that workbook with you to mentorship sessions. Because, yes, I'm going to hold you accountable for your spiritual maturity. And I want to see where your attitudes are, what you feel you have a right to believe and not believe, and what holds you back. How many thinks that's okay? If you're MI, you should be saying, well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't have to come up with questions because we want to grow. Amen. I want to grow, Apostle.
And I got 10 millionaires to raise up in this house, according to prophetic words.
That's so the word.
I got to have some people that know how to grow financially.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
Also, for those that are newer that don't know, I have a basic course. It's called Kingdom Financial Institute that I can refire back up that helps people with all the basics of finances, all the way into building your credit, how to buy a home, all the ins and outs of that. Then there's Diamonds in the Kingdom. How many folks that I had that was in my Diamonds class? I know Miss Denise was, Jason was, Jessica was, a few others were. And I'm getting ready to do another class that will be for some advanced that want to actually make money. And so we're just trying to put that together. If you're interested in any way, shape, or form of that, this is a vital time to be able to get things in line. The stock market is high. It's been just new. You've been hearing about new highs, new highs, new highs, new highs. There is coming a correction. That means stuff is going to go on sale. That means you need to squeeze them dollars now, and I'll show you how to get in. You don't need, back when I first started, if you didn't have $3,000 to invest, you had to be in the company that I was in to be able to start at $25 a month. Now you can get in for $5 anytime you want to into places. You just got to know what you're doing. That's where you need a financial mentor. And when you do that, I love folks that are wanting to bounce off money. My son, we talk finance all the time. Praise the Lord. How to make money. Why? Because I glean from him, he gleans from me. Sister Denise and I, we talk finances all the time on another level. She's doing something on another level. We talk it all the time. There's folks that want to be the manifestation of that prophecy and believe it. When you believe it, you'll pursue it. You'll pursue it. So I don't understand nothing. That's why you're the pupil. So you can start understanding everything. If you got a little bit of understanding, let's enhance that understanding. Know that you can double. Divide anything into 72 and you'll find out how long it takes to double. Divide what you're making right now in any interest at 0.25% and it'll tell you that you're going to need 795 years to double your money. So you probably won't live that long. You're not Methuselah. I will say this, there are ways, and I've seen it happen and actually had it happen. God spoke to me to do something while I was up at Pastor Parsley's. I tried to get in to do it. Couldn't do it. Tried to get in again. Couldn't do it. I said, God, what's going on? I said, try again. Tried the third time. Made 80% in 4 hours. 80% return in 4 hours. Not in 4 years, in 4 hours. Because when you are have the knowledge that's necessary and you're in those realms, it's all about applying the knowledge. And if it didn't work for me before, this is the first time that that particular thing worked for me. Why does that? Because I had knowledge that was working, and I got up in the anointing of somebody that doesn't even tell people that that's what they do. And boom. So we're going to grow around here. We're going to see manifestations, but we work on us first. I want to say something that about mindset really fast, and I know you got 30 seconds, so we're going to get this. Years ago, for Pastor's Appreciation, I was given the cologne for the first time. It was called Millionaire, and Dr. April is the one that presented it to me. Now, I wear it from time to time. There are folks that said, you know, I really like that scent on you. Here's my mindset. There's other stuff that the title of it doesn't mean that much to me. It's just cologne. But when I spray Millionaire, what do you think I say? I'm a millionaire. 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 Because if it's in you, flows through you, it's got to get on you, and I'm putting Millionaire on me. Put it on me. Hallelujah. So what's the next step? So it can get all around me. Now, don't go out and buy a Millionaire and put it all over you. I'm talking about the mindset. The mindset. So because I tried in my one thing tonight, and thank you, Prophetess, for bringing this, because it sets the pace for that. Praise the Lord. The one thing that happened right there is what I wanted to speak is, if you take a look at your working career, you already over time will have been trusted with $1 million or the opportunities of that. It's just having the knowledge of how to retain and cause it to build again. How many want to see God prosper you so much that you can write a check out for missions? You can write a check out for the new building. You can write a check out that says, you know what? I'm buying all the food for the neighborhood down here. Ain't not one of them kids going to go to school without their backpacks full of stuff, because I'll buy all the backpacks, right? God wants us to be a blessing so that we can be a blessing, and that's what it's all about. We start with what we got, and he grows it. Praise the Lord. All right, I call you blessed. Thank you for coming upon these times. Miss Selena's going to come and give us the announcements. Praise the Lord. Yeah.